Right. Well, am I on? Yep. That is fabulous. Nice to meet you. If I've met you before, it's good to see you again. My name is Jono, Jono Smith. And carrying on today with, introductions first. Yeah, my name is Jono. Let's have a look at that second slide. Here's the rest of the important people that are here with me today. So my wife, Kirsten, my daughter, Felicity, and my son, Micah. I felt a little bit like that was a boast post because I am the luckiest guy in the world. Check it out. We have had a really good summer. It has not rained properly, like for months, has it? Yes. Yes. I heard people praying for a drought and we're almost there. So it is so good. I have really, really, really enjoyed this summer so far. Hey, let me greet you in Māori first before you carry on. So kia ora tātou. Ko te toio kawharu te monga, ko whau te awa, no tamaki makaurau hau. Ko Kirsten, taku hoa wahine, ko Micah toku tama, ko Felicity toku tamahine, ko Jonu toku ingoa. Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa. Shall we get into it? I'm excited. Yes, this is good. Hey, if you've missed it, if you haven't been with us, or if you've been watching online like I have, we've been working through, I thought it was the Shema, in my Kiwi accent, but then it's like Shema, like more of a kind of, like I'm from Georgia. Anyway, so, you know, Michael Jackson, like, oh, Shema, right. Anyway, I'm just trying to, you know, come on, guys, it's good to be here. Yes. Listen, we've got a scripture, and it's from Deuteronomy, and it's the Shema. Here it is, Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 9. That's the first half. Then we've got the second. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. It continues. Impress them on your children. Talk to them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them to your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So I'm kind of getting the feeling from the author that this is important. Yeah. And I want to thank Matt personally for throwing me this one. Hey, Smithy, just wrap up this idea of soul, would you? Give you 15 minutes, take 20 if you need it. Just, you know, I know we've been talking about it for 2,000 years, but you should be able to. Yeah, we got this. Okay, look, we probably won't get all of this, and I do apologize if you're thinking soul and you're going that way and I head off here today. That's okay. We've got time, people. We've got time. Hey, before we get to the scriptures, I was thinking, what is soul? And I've got a couple of confessions to make. It's always good to confess to the church. A couple of songs that came to mind. There they are. There's a couple of divas there. Thank you to AI. Those two ladies lived about 25 years apart. There they are, both sitting beside each other on a park bench in New York. I don't know. It's a bit of fun. So we've got a couple of songs. Here's one. Do you recognize this one? It's from Patti LaBelle, 1974, Going. Does this one recognize this at all? Yeah, that's right. No? Just nod your head if you... Yes, thank you. I see that. Yeah, we got a couple of, yeah. Okay, look, so that, perhaps embarrassingly, that was the first thing that came to mind when we were talking about soul. And I had to look into it. I thought maybe that would be a great catch for talking about soul. And as it turns out, sadly, it's a song about a guy who fell in love with a prostitute. That's really not much help to us today. Yeah. There we are. I was reassured by Pastor Grace that it would fit in the Old Testament story. You know, there's some sketchy stories in the Old Testament. Anyway, then the next one was, okay, well, for soul, in my head, well, there's soul, and then there's material. That was like the second place that I went. And this is even more embarrassingly, this one came to mind. Nod your head if you know it. Snap it. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, well, I thought about singing them, John, but Matt said it was a bad idea. They'll be stuck on the internet forever. So I looked at first comment, Mike, my good lad, he said, why do the 80s have all the best music? Well, that's insightful. Second insight, 35 out of the 267 words in that song is the word material. That is one in every eight words. And yet again, that really doesn't illuminate anything, except for it's got this idea of material. So we've got soul and material in today. And can we flick up to the next slide? Look, I wanted to see, where does the material world finish? So we've got this idea of material, and where does the soul begin? I thought, well, that would be a nice way to, if it's either or, but where does one start and the other one finish? So I found this website, and just goes in a little bit. Oh, hang on. Here we go. So we've got to zoom in. This one is all the material things, right? Can you see it? Yes, there we go. So the material world on a spectrum. So it's got the biggest things in the universe that we know about all the way down to the smallest. I thought, surely in here somewhere we're going to find the soul. Would make sense, eh? It's the internet. It knows everything. Google, come on. So here we go. Here's the human, the sunflower, slightly bigger, the giant earthworm. Oh, who's that on the... That's an elephant. Who's that? Yes, Mr. T-Rex. Here he comes. Oh, hang on a sec. Sorry. That's just... Oh, yes. Now, this is where it gets fun. Statue of Liberty, Titanic. Look at the state of it. Angel Falls, somewhere in it. Shout out if you see Seoul, would you? Halley's Comet, West Virginia. Where's our Aussie brothers? They must be here somewhere. No. Left them out. Earth... Cyrus, look at the state of it. Oh, I'm fascinated by this website. It's so good. Awesome stars, the sun. Look at the stars. Oh, distance from these ones. I love these ones. Hey, the nebula. Aren't they just beautiful? The Ant Nebula. There it is. Look at the state of that. All the way out. And I love the end of this is like the bottom level of Minecraft. Where is it? Hang on. So yeah, let me, all is there. And now this is the really, I found this so much fun. We've got to get on to the sermon, but like, we're going to zoom back in, people. We're going, all the big stuff, there's galaxies and nebulas and into this, hang on, clicking on the ad. We go, oops, some suns and where's us? Here we go. Keep going. T-Rex. Human, right, now we can go the other way. This is fabulous, eh? Oh, look at the state of that. The dust mite, the grain of sand, the grain of salt. I'll show you a couple of my favorites. Hang on. Look at this one, the Mimi virus. I don't know who named that, but that is beautiful. Okay, we keep going. Now, here, there's one more thing I've got to show you. So we're doing zooming in. We're zooming in on the known world, on the material. And it's like a road sign. Yeah. Lengths shorter than this cannot be confirmed. Okay, very good then. So all the rest we're making up, but that's all right. They're the weak forces. Somewhere in here there's like the ultimate like string. There it is, people, string. Right, so we can flick off that. That'd be great. Back up on there. I've got an activity for our young ones in here today. If you're a young one or you're bored and you want to be a young one, you're a fidget, I've got 10 different things from that slideshow there. And can you put them in order? Go flick to the next slide. Put them in order from the smallest to the largest, all right? So there you go. If you missed out on one, there's a bunch more at the front here. So that's a little something for keep you going. Right, let's keep going. So kids, see if you can sort those into smallest to the largest. Oh, that's the answers on the board. Okay, I'm going to flick to the next slide. All right, so there's two... Yeah, we'll get to that one. All right, so the two parts of the world, we've got the material and the spiritual, and that's kind of just where I started, that was it, right? That's the two parts. I've been informed that it's actually a Greek concept, and my brother Tim there probably gave me a philosophy lesson on where this came from, but I'm not entirely sure. It's just kind of in my cultural mix where it's in the back of my head. My son said, what happens when you die? Well, your soul leaves and your material bodies stay behind. Okay, well, that's just kind of where I started. So what's the material? Material being these things. We can count them. We can measure them. They're tangible. We can touch them. Scientific and reasonable. Those are all of those things on that scale of the universe, all those material things. Okay, so if this is sort of scientific, measurable, catchable, countable, then what's the soul then? Well, okay, maybe that's the everything else, the leftovers category. The soft things, the intangible things, our feelings, kind of like a catch-all. Don't know. This is where I started. Trying to look into the Word of God, to see if there's some way for me to get into this. So I've looked it up. Let's go for some Bible verses. You've been waiting for the Bible, eh? You've had Madonna, you've had Patti LaBelle, you've had the scope of the universe. Here's the Word. This is what we came for. So here we go. We've got this material world, and the Bible starts nibbling away at the edges of that material world. God is the Alpha and the Omega. That in Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come. So from this one, our material spectrum, well, God who was, and God who is to come, and specifically here, God who is. So somewhere in between the ends of creation, the Alpha and the Omega, we've got someone in the middle here. God stepped in a wee step, a half step towards us. All right, let's have another one. Is that the second? I can't remember. Go to the next one. Matthew 22:32. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of the, not the God of the dead, but of the living. So God's moving in another half a step where he was with the kings, the ancient kings of different ages. There's a bit of an overlap here, eh? Between the material world and the spiritual world. They're kind of overlapping somehow. God's getting in the story of the ancient kings as well as being at the bookends of creation. So let's go and zoom in a little bit more. I think I've got one for the kids here. God is in the present. Oh, here it is. Revelation 1:4, God is described as he who is and was and who is to come. Again, that's time's getting broken up into bits. Okay. Hey, I think I've got another kid slide here. Can you rank those things, kids, if you're still with me, if you're playing the game, or if you want to start now? Can you rank those cards from the oldest to the newest? This one's really not as clear. Are we talking about ants? Which ant? That's all right. You figure it out. Right. So we've got this scope. Hey, let's flick ahead another slide, another scripture about this material and soul and where they mix. So 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. All scripture is God-breathed. So useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so the servant of God can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So for me, I've added that bold there, and my bolding is to say, look, the scriptures are God-breathed. So hang on a second. The people on earth wrote the Bible. Yeah, with me? Just give us a nod. I'm used to teaching high school. There should be paper planes going by now. Yeah, just a little nod. Yep, good. The people wrote the story of the Bible, the authors of the Bible. They use their emotion, their language, their ways of writing in those stories. Yet at the same time, God's truth and intention comes through their writing. The fractured separation between the material world and the soul starts to get really blurry, folks. Pub quiz question, 100 points. Ask the person beside you, see if they get this one right. Who wrote the Bible, God or man? Ooh. I don't know. I'm not going to try and answer. John Scott, next week. You got this one? He's going to open up with that next week. Yeah, mate. All right. Truly astonishing. Look, God is he's not at the ends of creation. He's invading the in-between as well. He's told the story of told his story through the work of people. So it's God inspiration, God pervading the notions of their writing. I find that kind of inspiring. Okay, more reasons that God is not just at the edges. Let's have another look at him. This one's the incarnate God, particularly Jesus, that we've got the Word. And spoiler, the Word we're talking here about, the Word is a name for Jesus. So the Word, or Jesus, became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. We've seen his glory and the glory of the Father's one and only Son. So I love this. I love the fact that the fabric of space and time, you know that website, that fabric, space and time, has been punctured, literally punctured by the life of Jesus Christ. The curtain temple torn in two as Christ and God restored the cosmic story, wasn't left on the sideline, right in amongst it. Let's go for another one that's slightly different. This one, I just love this one. It's not like God's just here or there. He's dwelling. Actually, I shouldn't speak on God's behalf. The scriptures indicate that he is dwelling. May the glory of the Lord endure forever, and may the Lord rejoice in his work. So this is like, he's still in the game, people. He's rejoicing. That's like a now thing. Like, yeah. Just because we've got a concrete, material, measurable, predictable, material world, for me, I just don't feel that excludes the Creator from the creation. I'm not sure that they have to be apart. That we've got these beautiful galaxies, universes, stars, and beyond. For me, it's not a cold and empty heaven, but a canvas of God's magnificent creation. When you lie there and you look up, is it eternally empty, or is it just something else? Or if you flip this around and we start zooming in on the small scale, the microscopic, the tiny, the DNA, is that so small that it's trivial? Are you so small in this universe that you're trivial? No way. God is not excluded from his creation. He's rejoicing in his work. Good point. Let's have a look. Another slide. If you're still with me, young ones, kiddos, or the board, which of these would be the most fascinating to you? God fascinates in the creation. Which of these things fascinate you? For me, I'd go nebula. Fascinating, eh? The ant nebula. Why? Why did God make an ant nebula? Who cares? It looks... I'm doing this one, eh? Been eating Italian. It's a me. Okay, right. Keep going, Smithy. Losing the plot. Next one. Testimony. So, look, we've got stories of the Word, but I think we've got another one we've just got to throw in here. Testimony around us today. And here this morning in the baptismal, a testimony of believers, people who can testify that God is not distant and removed, but rather from first day believers to lifers. We know a Lord God who provides for us, who heals for us, who leads us, answers prayer for us, consoles us at tough times, blesses us, gives wisdom. The list would go on. More in 24, Janine. I like what you did there. Yeah. God is good. That we serve a living God who's walked the earth in the life of Jesus, walked the earth with us. Let's go for number 8. So that in the Garden of Eden, the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among his trees in the garden. That is crazy. God walked the earth. If you believe the Bible, you believe Genesis, don't take my word for it. I wasn't there. Apparently God was there. And apparently in Revelation that there will be a return where God will again walk the earth. Not 100% sure on that one. Yeah, we're going, or is it when we're flying up to heaven, or is it coming down? Don't know. Debatable. Out of my depth. Better move on. Right. What's the next slide? Okay. So the Shema. Shema. We've got those are my thoughts. Those are my thoughts. I started with where I started with Madonna and Patti LaBelle, way off track. Then I've looked into the word to try and figure out where does the material world and the soul, where do they overlap? And I can't explain all of there. I don't know if you notice, all of those are scriptures that I've tried to use because I can't explain some of those things except for to say, look, that's what the word of God says. So we're running with it. The Bible Project have made a video about the idea of soul or nefesh. That is coming at the idea of soul from a Jewish, Judeo-Christian point of view. So perhaps one where the whole is considered rather than just sort of fractured, not just material and physical and the soul, but maybe the overlap. So these guys, this lot have done a really good job for it. So let's have a look and see what they've got, and I'll jump up again after that to wrap us up with a few thoughts. Thanks, guys.
We're going to look at the word soul. The Hebrew word is nefesh. It occurs over 700 times in the Old Testament. The common English translation of this word is soul, and that's kind of unfortunate. Here's why. The English word soul comes with lots of baggage from ancient Greek philosophy. It's the idea that the soul is a non-physical, immortal essence of a person that's contained or trapped in their body to be released at death. It's a ghost in the machine kind of idea. This notion is totally foreign to the Bible. It's not at all what nefesh means in biblical Hebrew. The most basic meaning of nefesh is throat. Like, when the Israelites are wandering in the wilderness, they're hungry and thirsty, and they say to God, "We missed the cucumbers and melons we had in Egypt. Now our nefesh has dried up." Or when Joseph was hauled off into slavery in Egypt, his nefesh was put into iron shackles. But nefesh doesn't only mean throat. Since your whole life and body depend on what comes in and out of your throat, nefesh could also be used to refer to the whole person. Like in Genesis, there were 33 nefesh in Jacob's family, that is, 33 people. In the Torah, a murderer is called a nefesh slayer, and a kidnapper is called a nefesh thief. On the first pages of the Bible, both humans and animals are called a living nefesh, and if the life breath has left a human or animal, the nefesh remains. It's just called a dead nefesh, that is, a corpse. So, in the Bible, people don't have a nefesh, rather, they are a nefesh, a living, breathing, physical being. Now that might surprise you, because most people assume the Bible says the soul is what survives apart from the body after death. And while the biblical authors do have a concept of people existing after death, waiting for their resurrection, they rarely talk about it. And when they do, they don't use the word nefesh. So even though nefesh is often translated as soul, the Hebrew word really refers to the whole human as a living physical organism. In fact, this is why biblical people can often use this word to refer to themselves. And it gets translated me or I. Like in Psalm 119, most translations read, "Let me live that I may praise you." In Hebrew, the poet literally says, "Let my nefesh live that it may praise you." By using nefesh, the poet emphasizes that their entire being, their life and their body, offer thanks to God. In the Song of Songs, the young woman constantly refers to her lover as the one my nefesh loves. And of course, love isn't just an intellectual experience, it's an emotion that activates your whole body, your entire nefesh. This helps us understand the brilliance of other biblical poets who could combine multiple meanings of nefesh in one place. Like in Psalm 42, we read, "As the deer pants for the water, so my nefesh pants after you. My nefesh thirsts for the living God." So on a physical level, your throat can be thirsty, like a deer's, but then that physical thirst can become a metaphor for how your whole physical being longs to know and be known by your Creator. Which brings us all the way back to the Shema. To love God with all of your nefesh means to devote your whole physical existence to your Creator, the one who granted us these amazing bodies in the first place. It's about offering your entire being with all of its capabilities and limitations in the effort to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. And that's the Hebrew word for soul.
All right. Probably could have just stopped it there, eh? Like 20 minutes ago, you'd be better off. So anyway, nefesh, the nefesh of it all. Let's pull it all together. So for me, that nefesh, the bigness, the wraparound, it's like the authors are trying to make their arms wide enough to wrap around the whole of creation, the whole of creation. Not just like fragments, this and that, separate, but the wholeness of it. So jump up. We've got a couple of thoughts, and then we'll move it on. So the nefesh of it all. Do we make a distinction in our life between that bit, which is God and godly, and this bit over here, which is the secular and the not? Well, I work there, that's my job, and I go to church here. That's the classic. Are they all the same? Or are they different? Why are they different? What could be the same about them? I don't know. Do I celebrate the beach with God as our creator? Or do I sit there and then go to church and say, oh yeah, thanks God. What about out there, in it, breathing it, the salty air, the waves? Thank you, God. Screaming like a lunatic in the waves, yes! do we separate those two, or are they the same? Do we thank God for the brilliance of Black Doris plums? Or is it like food? Amen. No. I'm going to hear you screaming like a lunatic for the Black Doris plum. Okay, really no time to sit down, Smithy. So look, last week we talked, Matt encouraged us to journal down where are our thoughts and what are we thinking. This week we need to keep on doing that. Journal, keep the ball going. Look for those places where God has punctured the material and is breaking into the world. Flick on, there's one more slide there. And the very last one, hey, look, be bold and share with others the times that we see God, the soul, the spiritual, breaking into our material world. Share those with one another. Edify, it's look up. What does it mean? Edify means to build up. Build an edifice, build up when we see really, really good things going on. And let's remember now that God is not at the bookends of creation. He's more than that. He's in every book, on every page, in every word, and every letter in between. And from the song that we just sang earlier, he's the breath in our lungs that we pour out in praise. God is that breath in our lungs that we pour out in praise. Let us do that. Let's praise and honor him for all that he's created. For the Black Doris plum, for the ant nebula, for the Mimi virus. Maybe we don't want to. It's a good virus, I hope. Praise God for all of those things. Praise God when you're in the sand at the beach, in the waves, screaming with joy like a lunatic. Let's live in those spaces between God the Creator and here the created, knowing that God is in the space between with us. I can't necessarily put my finger on how that happens. I can't measure and tell you when God is going to turn up. But I kind of feel like that would really ruin God if we could catalog appearances of God, number 153. God's God. God will do what God wants to do. But we can get on board with that. Look out for it. Share it with one another. Build each other up. Be baptized. Go under that water and come up again saying, yep, this is my everything. That we know that God is good. More in 24? Yeah, why not? Why not? Becca, should we? Yeah. Let's sing some songs. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you soon.